podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Lynda.com. Learn what you want, when you want, with access to over 2,000 high-quality online courses and training videos, all for one low monthly price. To try it free for 7 days, visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. Hello, and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 150, recorded on Tuesday, February 25th, 2014. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason L.
I'm Ron Richards.
There we go.
I'm Gina Trapani.
Brian missed my cue. There,
it's okay. The technical director is a well, evidence by today's rundown, is a very difficult job to keep up with all the things.
And plus, Brian and I aren't on the best of terms.
Yeah, so I know.
I'm just upset it spilled over into the show.
That was malicious, wasn't it, Brian? Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
Okay. All right. That was totally intentional. Good. I'm happy that we got to the bottom of that. We are thrilled to welcome back to the show. And man, it's been a while, and I'm not even entirely sure why, because you're awesome. Marquez Brownlee is joining us today on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. No, thanks for having me. I'm a heater. Okay, you might be able to hear it right now. So my heater is occasionally going to make weird tapping noises, in which case I'll mute my mic.
Are you sure that isn't some little animal living inside that box over there that wants out?
Hopefully it's not.
It really sounds like something knocking.
It does, yeah.
No, it does. It sounds like it's coming directly up from the floor. Nothing ever comes out the floor, so
trust it. Well, hopefully today during the show, well, maybe not hopefully, but wouldn't that be interesting if something did finally come up through the floor during the show? I hope that does
finally,
not happen. Samsung finally reaches through the floor and says, "You will like this new phone." So yes, Marquez, obviously you blow it up every single week on YouTube, youtube.com/mkbhd. And, we're just always thrilled to get you on the show. And today is no exception, man. We have a lot of interesting, cool stuff to talk about. This week was Mobile World Congress, still is, in fact. So we have a lot of hardware to dive into there. The rising backlash around Google Glass. It seems like we're hearing more and more about this every single week. Some new hardware coming direct from Google. That sounds very cool. And a lot more. A lot more.
A lot more.
This is a dense show. And you're going to want to check out the show notes at twit.tv/AAA.
If you came looking for apps, wait till the end for the arena.
It's app light, hardware heavy.
Yeah.
This week.
Hope you like hardware.
So let's get right to it. Let's get to the news. All right. So we're going to start not with Mobile World Congress. We're going to start on a few other things. Google I.O., shortly after last week's episode, of course, as usual, all the news breaks once our episode is done. Google I.O. dates were finally announced. That's June 25th through the 26th. That's later than normal. Sundar Pichai made the announcement on Google Plus, where he had this to say about the new registration process. What did you have to say, Sundar? We'll be implementing a new system where you can submit your interest to attend Google I.O. 2014. Successful applicants will then be randomly selected and notified shortly thereafter. My name is Sundar Pichai.
Can we analyze those words that he used? So he says, the key words that I took away was new system, which is fine.
Okay.
Submit your interest.
Uh-huh.
And then successful applicants.
Uh-huh.
So is there going to be some sort of, like, either an obstacle course or some sort of test or some sort of judgment on the Google side of what is my interest in Google? How do I be successful? How do you win?
Is it an essay question, do you think? That all the Google bots just sort of, you know, do some natural language processing and that senses how much you really want it?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard a lot about Google's interview process, right, and how their questions are very, you know, very interesting and, you know, not the normal, like, job interview questions. They really kind of analyze you in a strange way. Maybe there's going to be some hardcore analysis about if you're worthy. That's what it sounds like.
They're going to make me jump through hoops again.
It sounds like they're making everybody jump through hoops. So that is interesting. Successful applicants. I mean, if you get in, that's success. So sure, maybe that's all
they're saying. But so how do you, I mean, is it a timing thing? Like, oh, I put my application in at the right time and so I'm successful?
So.
Or is
no.
It,
yeah.
I
don't think it sounds so. Like timing's out of it, right?
Right.
It's just like it's submitting your interest, whatever that means. Maybe there's some questions. I mean, ultimately, it sounds like it's random, right? Ultimately, it sounds like it doesn't matter that they were trying to take out the whole bum rush and the 3-minute sellout mm-hmm. situation, right? They wanted everyone to be able to apply and then choose them randomly.
Yeah.
I'm just interested to see what kind of questions there are.
What's that, Marquez?
I was going to say, it says successful application as if you can fail the application. So.
Right.
Two plus two is five, Google. Come on.
So they're going to randomly select people and then, I mean, are you successful because you've been randomly selected? Is it truly going to be a random pool?
I don't know. Yeah. Details. Oh, the other thing that Sundar said? Details to follow.
Details to follow.
So yes. There we go. All this. But that, details to follow. Thank you, Sundar.
That said, though, if the rumors are true, I really want to go.
Uh-huh.
That's what
I kind of think. This really raises the bar and makes it a little bit more complicated.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Marquez?
Well, I didn't get to go last year, so I'm super pumped to have a chance at least to go this year.
Yeah.
And if any of the rumors are true, I definitely want to be there. I actually chose not to go last time because I had a conflict, but mm-hmm. I'll probably make time. For this one, yeah.
I did the same thing, Marquez. I'm like, no, I'm too busy. All right, Google, you can have your little show. I'm gonna stay over here and do my work.
I could play back a few episodes that might prove the opposite. Listen, of that.
I'm making my own reality.
All right. Now, speaking of IO, this is very interesting. Leaks.
That's why
from
I want to go.
Multiple sources, including Evan Williams, Ev Leaks on Twitter, a very popular and very accurate leaking source, I guess, whatever you want to call them, point to a possible unveiling of Google's smartwatch. At I.O., made by LG. Early versions of the device are said to have a metallic wristband, but likely plastic for release, full-color display, Bluetooth LE, and gesture-based interaction. And you can expect the watch to revolve around Google Now, which, I mean...
Shocking.
Yeah, a big surprise there. Sounds pretty awesome. And actually, Android Police... Let's see here. Was it Android Police? No. Never mind. Sorry. Android Police, nothing. They don't have any images of this one. I'm thinking of Motorola, but that's later.
If this is true, I will be outside the Moscone, like hands up against the glass, just like
pointing at your wrist.
Because all I've said, I want a smartwatch, and I want to wait to see what Google's going to do with it. So if I've got to wait till June and see what they're doing with LG, I'm very excited for this. But it's very early to make this kind of rumor. It's very early. It's like, what?
You think?
It's 3 months away.
It's almost March.
No,
yeah.
It's not 3 months away, is it?
Yeah, June 25th.
March, April, May, June. It's 4 months away. It's 4 months.
Yeah, but it's March four days.
Right, but it's...
We're in the time travel like zone right now.
It's
like,
still 4 months away. I would expect these rumors to pick up in May or so. It's like at the end of June. You know, the fact that it's coming out... This rumor is coming out in February makes me worried that it's not true because it is so early.
You never know. Yeah, this is true. Yeah. I could very likely see I.O. coming because we had a lot of ideas about what we thought we'd see at I.O. last year, and that obviously didn't happen. So,
and I want a Google smartwatch. So, I mean...
I do, too. A lot. And I want it to be good. I think that's why I want a Google smartwatch. I actually want a smartwatch that's good.
Right, yeah. And Marquez, you mentioned you want to see the design, right?
Yeah, I mean, the only watch I've actually worn in the last maybe 6 years is this Pebble that I've been... looks weird on camera with the filter or whatever. But yeah, the original Pebble, and then I've been testing the Steel. Mm-hmm. Other than that, no smartwatch, just because I don't like any of the designs. So
I'm so on the fence with the Steel. Well, I don't want to get back to the Pebble Steel, but like if I get some money back for my taxes, I might do the Pebble Steel. But now I might wait till June, so I don't know.
Right. You can always wait for the next thing.
Yeah, there's
always
the
trap
more coming.
And don't worry, there's a lot of wearables coming. And if this show is any indication, you know, by the way, by the end of this episode, we will have talked about like 4 or 5 or 6 different wearables. So stay tuned until the end, and you'll see what I'm talking about. What else does Google have in store for us?
Well, so last week on the, I don't know if it was this time, the Mobile World Congress, or just a, if it was done on purpose or not or whatnot, but Google, not at Mobile World Congress, last Thursday announced Project Tango, which is a new project that is led by the Advanced Technology and Projects Group, which we also know them from Project Aura. And it wasn't, this is not a part of the group that was sold to Lenovo from Motorola. They announced Project Tango, which is a hardware project that takes an Android prototype phone and track the world around you by using advanced motion and space tracking sensors. They've got 3D scanning to map your surroundings and tracking. 3D motion are just a few of the things to expect from this project. And it will open up to a limited number of developers in the coming months. So basically what it is it's a they've got a 5-inch phone that has got that takes a 250,000 3D measurements per second. And they're going to be offering it to developers to include the APIs that will provide position, orientation, and depth data to standard apps written in Java, C, C++, and Unity game engine. So basically, this is taking the idea of a phone and adding the 3D element to it and be able for the phone to interpret and process all that 3D data. And when you think about it, it's the kind of thing when you're like, oh, that's odd. But when you think about the implications from an application standpoint as well as a gaming standpoint, it's kind of crazy. So it's cool that it's another kind of taking it to the next level kind of approach, which I think is really, really interesting.
Yeah. What do we think this is solving here? Why is Google spending their time focused on this? What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, we heard about sensors at last I/O, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it was Paige up on stage who said, you know, that these devices in our pockets could have so many more sensors and give us so much more information about the world around us. I mean, the example he gave was air quality, I think, which has pretty obvious uses, especially around health. For this kind of thing, the 3D detection, I don't know. I kind of want to take one of those phones into my new house and do a 3D model and send it to an interior designer and be like, just do it. I know that that's a pretty I don't know, obscure use, but certainly gaming, and I think, yeah, I don't know, I mean, I think there could be a lot of use for being able to map 3D map a space.
Well, I think Google also answered that question in their announcement when they're saying, okay, what are the possible implications of this? They did mention, you know, capturing the dimensions of your house by walking around before you went to buy furniture. What if directions to a new location didn't stop at the street address? Which is interesting, because how often do you walk into a shopping mall, or you walk into some sort of complex and it's the third door, and you know, that sort of thing. What if you never again found yourself lost in a new building? Which is interesting. This one I think is fascinating. What if the visually impaired could navigate unassisted and unfamiliar indoor places?
I don't know how that works, but that's
pretty cool. And it says, what if you could search for a product and see where the exact shelf is located in a superstore? That's very specific, but yeah, but so that's basically some of the applications it can do. I mean, Marquez, what do you make of this?
Yeah, someone in the chat said this is also the NSA's dream, which is another weird thought, because obviously it's on your phone. But I think it's one of those Google projects that doesn't really necessarily have a defined end. There's plenty of these already from Google X, and I guess ATAP is part of Google X, or close enough to it. And now my heater's squealing. I don't know if you can tell.
The Samsung is rising up.
It's
not content with just knocking on your floor.
Yeah, it's got to stay in the limelight. But yeah, it's one of those Google projects that doesn't really have a defined end, and they just kind of they go along with it and see what comes of it, rather than aiming towards something specific. So I don't think anyone, even at Google, really says, you know, this is what we want this to do in the end. So I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool. And very, and just indicative of just the massive amount of money and resources, obviously, that Google has to throw at random stuff like this. But yeah, the demo is very cool. Like it maps the environment, and then suddenly you're playing like a game that's tied to the environment that it's mapped, because it's all three-dimensional and everything. So you can roll a ball from through your surroundings, essentially. And all this kind of stuff just makes me think, man, if you bring this kind of technology into a VR environment, which, you know, could potentially be some sort of, you know, progression from what we see now with glass and everything. It's just the potential is awesome. You know, even a couple of years down the line for things like this. Google's the right company to do it, apparently. So
I think so.
Yeah. And what about being secure on Android, Gina?
Well, security focused Black Phone, which we covered back in January, has opened up for pre-orders for those of you interested in dropping $629 to protect your privacy, that is. The new Black Phone is produced by Silent Circle. It runs a forked version of Android called Private OS. That's Private OS, drop the E, that has strong privacy features and controls built into it. The new phone will be shipping to users this coming June. It's a pretty standard hardware build, but Black Phone comes loaded with apps like Silent Phone for peer-to-peer encrypted voice over IP calls, Silent Text for encrypted messaging, Silent Contacts for a siloed contact list that other apps can't access. So all these apps are already available for Android and iOS if you've seen them already, but you've got to be a paid member of Silent Circle to use them. And plans are, the prices vary widely, but the plans start around $10 a month for personal use. Black Phone comes with 2 years of these services paid for. And this kind of, and this is what we discussed when we talked about this last January, in order to have secure messaging, both the person, you and the person who you're messaging with, has to be using these secure clients. So because it requires this peer-to-peer encryption, the phone comes with 3 one-year subscriptions to hand out to friends. And after that, it's like $10 a month to continue.
Oh, that's pretty funny. That's good.
And something I like, Silent Circle is going to open source most of their code so the community can help them stay ahead of threats as they arrive. So basically, if you want to, I mean, there's the phone for $6.29, and then there are the Silent Circle apps. And yeah, you get to hand out to your friends subscriptions to encrypted messaging apps in order to be totally private.
For a year.
Or to feel like you're totally private because your phone is black.
Or to feel that like you're totally
security
private.
And it's locked down and it's, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still feel like this is a little gimmicky, taking advantage, like preying on people's fears kind of a pro. I mean, but clearly the apps, I mean, the fact that they acknowledge that you need to have a connection on both ends and hand that out, and clearly they're playing to this audience, but it is an audience. Like now someone who's really concerned about the NSA, you can just, okay, we'll get that phone, and then boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, do you pay for the subscriptions with your credit card? Like, how to, you know, do they accept?
No, Bitcoin. You know, it's totally secure and safe. Like,
what's the...
Man, I've got to rethink that one. No, I actually don't know if you could pay for this with Bitcoin.
It'd be silly if you couldn't, right? Wouldn't it?
Maybe eventually. <Yeah. laughs> I don't know. Maybe not, though, if you know the news today about Bitcoin.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Marquez, do you think a device offering this, still with the restrictions of, and you know, it makes sense having the restriction of the kind of the software on both ends. Do you think a device like this can be successful?
I think it can be. I've never really been into the whole device, like you said, kind of preying on people's need for security, trying to feel like they're more secure. It doesn't seem like the most popular idea yet. Like I've seen people share the idea, like, oh, this is really cool, what do you think of this, check it out, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, the next big thing. I think it's going to be one of those niche things that just people kick around to consider the idea.
Yeah, like it's like you said, it certainly has a market. It has the people that are really fired up about, you know, the NSA revelations, blah, blah, blah. But I hate to say it, but by and large, I think a lot of people are very just kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, as far as the NSA and security in that regard is concerned, oh, that really sucks. Whatever. I'm not doing anything wrong.
Well, yeah. I mean? So much
of your market is kind of like... is kind of like non-accessible because they aren't as freaked out about the security angle as you would need for them to decide to buy your device.
Their audience breaks down. Their audience bucket. I guarantee they're in a meeting room and they say, okay, let's talk about our audience. Okay, all cell phone users. Okay, of those cell phone users, people concerned about security. Of those people who are concerned about security, they're the tinfoil hat people, and then they're the people with something to hide.
Right. And they did tinfoil hat with like a sparkly, like, yes, you know, gray marker with glitter. Okay.
Yeah. No matter where you go, the tinfoil hat people and the people with something to hide aren't really two good groups I really want to get in bed with when you think about it. Because the tinfoil hat people, but there's just no reasoning with them. And the people with something to hide have got something to hide.
But is it enough?
There's legitimate uses for this. Sure. I mean, journalists and their sources, yes, for example. Yeah. I mean, there are legitimate uses where you would like to communicate privately.
Yeah.
Right? So Granted, the other two groups may be larger than those people.
And they certainly still are of your users.
Right.
You know, the pool, you know, part of your pool of users.
I'm just saying, it's a very specific.
It's still
there
a market.
You go, tinfoil hat group. Yeah, but it's a, yeah, whatever. Hey, if they can fund it, if they can do it, good luck.
Is that Dave Grohl?
I think that looks like Dave Grohl.
Really, if it isn't, it really looks like him. Yeah. Someone in the chat
probably gets that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he is Dave Grohl, he probably gets that all the time.
Dave Grohl is very concerned about security.
Yeah, apparently so. So let's talk about Glass for a little bit here. Glass, I think we can all agree, is seeing a very progressive backlash right now, both in the eyes of the law, as of this story today, as well as the court of public opinion. First, Google is actively lobbying in 8 states to persuade lawmakers in those states that are trying to create laws outlawing the use of glass while driving. And basically they're trying to say this is unnecessary. Google states the regulation is premature, as glass is not yet widely accessible to the public. Yep. And those states considering such legislation include New York, Illinois, Delaware, Missouri, Maryland, and West Virginia. And a few others, which apparently I didn't write down. So you have that Google actively saying, hey, look, legislation against, you know, the use of glass in cars, that sort of thing, not necessary because not many people have them, which I'm not sure if that's the best tactic, but
it's one, because the thing is that in the court of law or whatever, they're like, I'm not a lawyer, but let me just preface that. But I think if you can make an argument that this isn't an issue, then therefore don't legislate for it.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
I could see a legal team making that argument going, it hasn't hit critical mass, there aren't enough users to it, it's still developing, let it innovate, let it grow before you start putting, you know, kind of legal sanctions around it.
Sorry, I just got that song from Frozen stuck in my head again. Okay, so we have that. We have Google kind of actively doing this. Now, out in the real world, we continue to see these stories, and I feel like I'm seeing more and more of them every day, right? News outlets, glasswares on Google+, basically citing how they were kicked out of establishments. We've talked about them on the show in the past while wearing the device. In some cases, as is the story today, you know, it's escalated to violence. A woman was wearing glass in San Francisco in the Hate.
In my hood.
Yeah, totally in your hood. You probably could have seen this happening right outside of your window. Yeah. And, you know, someone lifted the glass off their face. I guess a bunch of the bystanders were upset that, you know, she might be taking, you know, pictures or that the camera was active and all this stuff happened. So I don't know. I don't know what the question is here.
It took place at my local.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm not lending you my pair of glass to wear.
That's fantastic. And have it at the bar I play pinball at.
Wait a minute. Were you?
No, I wasn't there. I wasn't there Friday night. Oh, man, I wish I was. And they also got the neighborhood wrong in the article. They said the Haight Ashbury neighborhood. That's the lower Haight.
It is the lower Haight.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt that. Yeah.
So what are we seeing here, Marquez? Does glass warrant this kind of backlash? Are we surprised? What do you think?
It reminds me of the Tesla problem. I've talked about Tesla a lot, like in my videos and on Twitter and stuff, where the whole Tesla's always catching on fire stigma, where people now associate Tesla with bad because fire, when it's not actually that big of a deal. Still reminds me of glass, where there's this stigma, a negative stigma about it before it's even really all that popular. And I guess Google's more concerned about the reputation of glass than the actual laws itself. Obviously, they're not a fan of the laws and they're trying to get them, you know, removed. But the reputation of glass and technologies like it are as dependent on this lawsuit as glass itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
By the way, this quote from the article is brilliant from someone who was there, a man named Brian. You know, the crowd at Molotov's is not a tech-oriented crowd for the most part, Brian said. It's probably one of the more punk rock bars in the city. So, you know, it's not really Google Glass country.
Okay.
Well, that's what's interesting about what happened to that woman at the bar is like that. So there's major sort of class warfare going on in San Francisco, yes. Or at least I gather from the news, right? So glass represents, first, people fear glass, right? Because it's new technology, mm-hmm. and it's scary, and it's right out on people's heads, right? They fear it because they don't know what it is, and they assume that you're taking pictures of them because you can, even though you're maybe probably not. And then there's the cultural significance of having glass on your head, which is, number one, I had $1,500, you know, dollars of disposable income to drop on this. Yes. And number two, like, I'm connected to Google, which is quickly becoming this like big scary corporation who rules everything, right? So not only are you rich, but you're connected. And when you're in a situation like what's going on in San Francisco right now, where the locals, you know, who have been there forever, feel like the place is getting gentrified, these new young techies are coming in and taking over, it's a recipe for this woman getting glass ripped off her head, right? I mean, that's what was going on. The person was saying, you know, we don't want your people here, basically, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's true. I mean, I live right where this happened, and there are photocopied flyers on telephone poles that says tech is not culture, and this whole kind of anti kind of tech kind of movement.
Yeah,
I haven't seen any violence. I haven't seen any of the stuff. Of course, I'm over in Berkeley working during the day, so I don't see it by day. And I wasn't at the bar this night. I wish I was, though.
Man, if you were.
I actually thought about going to that on Friday night. That's the funny thing. But because they have the new Star Trek pin vault machine. That's really good. But it's a real thing, and clearly there are people who aren't, you know, it's not easing its way into society very well, and the kind of society schism that Gina mentioned in San Francisco probably doesn't help. So
the thing is, when it was first announced, I think there was a lot of genuine interest in it, and then at a certain point, somewhere recently, pretty recently, it's really divided. It's it's kind of become like high school, like we were talking before the show in a different sense. But, you know, you've got the jocks, you've got the nerds, and you've got the glass holes. Yep. And, you know, they won't combine, and they're like water and oil, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really becoming this kind of schism before glass ever has the chance to actually be released in an official sort of way. But, yeah, Marquez, I think you're absolutely right. Google kind of has, more than anything, a PR kind of issue on its hand, because they have obviously put a lot of stake in the glass, and if there's already such a backlash for it, that's going to continue.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it's going to get worse.
I wish I had thought about it before the show. I would have given Brian the clip, but did you see the Crunchies video with John Oliver? So the Crunchies is the award, tech awards that TechCrunch sponsors or whatever, and they get John Oliver from The Daily Show who hosts it, and they put the video up online. In his opening monologue, he just tore, and this was like at the end of January, so it's recent, he just tore into the tech community, making a joke out of what's been going on in the city, you know, saying, you know, when is enough enough? You people are gentrifying a city that's been gentrified three times already. You can't do that. But then he further made the point, you guys are not the nerds anymore. You guys are not the gritty underdogs that everyone's hoping for. You own everything. Like, you won.
Fair enough.
Like, so, you know, and then made fun of them for needing to give themselves awards in that aspect, but it was a very of eerily honest kind of skewering.
It's incredibly honest.
Yeah.
Let's face it, the things that are the things about technology that are cool now, and I can only speak from my own experience because I was a dorky little kid with a Commodore 64, you know, plugging away in my bedroom late at night on the Commodore 64 playing games, and I was definitely that nerdy kid, and things like that are take on a different kind of place in society now and have a lot more, I don't know, importance, I guess.
Well, I mean, the thing is that we have this long, rich tradition of building in the garage and entrepreneurship and stuff like that. But over the past 7 years, it has now changed into, and it really has become a have and have not. I mean, I literally walk through the streets of San Francisco. I walk through this neighborhood to get to BART to go take my thing. And I can't tell you how many homeless people I step over. You know, and it's
that's always been the case. Yeah. I mean, that's
no, it
been
always
the case
has.
In
but but the thing is that there are other things going on in the world and stuff like that, and there's such a divide. You know, and I saw it in New York too when I lived in New York City. I mean, like, you would be, I don't know why I said it like that, in New York City. There, you know, you'd be in these, you know, great neighborhoods, and then you'd walk a couple of neighborhoods over, and it would be just, it would be, you know, you gotta you know, keep your eyes forward and lock your car doors and that sort of thing, you know. And that balance is just getting so wide. And I think something like glass, which is misunderstood, becomes the representation of that's someone who's not like me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's weird how it intersects now.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Well, I think that's about all we have to say about glass. We have so much hardware to get into for Mobile World Congress. I don't even know how we're going to get through it in the next 40 minutes. So let's do it. Let's get into hardware.
I need like a Mobile World Congress specific bumper.
Mobile World Congress 2014.
All right, so
there you go.
The location was Barcelona. The presentation was Samsung. And what they unveiled was the Samsung Galaxy S5. It has come down from the heavens, and it looks a lot like the S4.
Except the back. Except the back is a lot dimplier.
The back is a little dimplier. So basically, Samsung, the long-awaited Galaxy S5 was announced. Here are the rundown, the quick specs. A 5.1-inch display at 1920 by 1080 resolution. It's got a 2800 mAh battery with ultra power saving mode that doubles remaining battery life when it hits low levels. It's got related IP67 for dust and water resistance, up to 3 feet of water for 30 minutes. It's got the finger scanner that we talked about on the home button, so you can swipe your finger across for unlock and payment authorization.
Yeah, although I don't think that we got the launch as many apps depending on which finger.
Yeah,
that,
we didn't get the eight different fingers. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's got a whole bunch of, I can't even go through all the specs.
Don't.
Cameras, all the stuff. Basically, it's a little bigger, a little heavier, a little more powerful than the Galaxy S4, and it's got the new design that is supposedly better to hold on to, that is gives you better grip.
And aren't we lucky that Marquez, you saw and played around with this. You actually made a fantastic video about it. What was your take on the S5?
So on the phone itself, it's not a bad phone. It's obvious. It's an obvious iteration for Samsung's move from the S4 to the S5. Mm-hmm. So obviously, it physically looks very similar, like you guys said. The specs are a step up a little bit in the next direction. It's got some new colors, some new backs. Personally, when I look at a new phone for me to use for personal use, it's made me realize that more and more what I care about is design and then being able to personalize it with whatever I do to the operating system. So I've been using Nexus 5 for a while. I happen to like the design and, you know, a lot of the features that we talked about. So the new fingerprint scanner on the home button, I may never use that. You know, the heart rate monitor on the back, I may never use that. The new software features, may never use those. So what really matters to me as a difference between the S4 and the S5 is the new design and the new specs. So I'm a fan of the new specs. The new camera looks great. The new the larger battery looks great. The 2.5 gigahertz quad core processor looked great. The design, not so much of a huge fan of. Obviously, it's a removable back, which a lot of people seem to forget. Like, oh, I hate the back of it, but you'll probably be able to buy a replacement back for it within a week of it launching. So I'm getting used to these iterative spec updates, and I'm looking more forward to the software stuff and being able to customize it and make it my own. So I think this phone will be great for that, just like the S4 was. Not necessarily a must upgrade if you have the S4, but definitely an update. It's a step in the right direction.
It's very much, I got the sense, aside from the dimpled back and that kind of approach, it's very much the S4 worked well. We're going to ratchet up a little bit with the latest, greatest technology and make it a little bit. It's almost like a point release, I feel like. This isn't like
I kind of feel like the S4 was that over the S3 too. And that's just that's just kind of where we're at right now with hardware is that they are very incremental. I did think that the heart rate monitor, as little as I would probably use that, that's interesting and new, but you know, it's almost like Samsung is taking their approach that they've had with software, which are look at all these cool things that we can do, and then when it comes down to it, how much do you actually use? Not saying that there aren't people that use them, but for me personally, that you know, those software enhancements are neat on paper, but I wouldn't necessarily use them, like you were saying a little bit earlier, Marquez. So the heart rate monitor kind of falls in that category, but with hardware, but still, it's kind of cool that you can do that, right? A lot of people have asked for that kind of thing,
but it's interesting to note that the Galaxy S5 ROM takes up 8 gig of space on the phone.
Of 16.
Of 16 gig.
Of 16.
So how important is that heart rate monitor app that Samsung comes with it for you?
You know, it's not just that app. It's a whole lot of that.
Bloated. And that's
constantly an issue with TouchWiz, is that there's a lot of stuff jammed in there from a software perspective, and it takes up space.
Yep, exactly. But if you're looking for it, the Galaxy S5 will be available on April 11th. And Sprint and T-Mobile say their customers will get to buy it in a couple of months, and AT&T said they'll reveal more soon. So if you're looking for the date to pick it up, it's going to be April 11th and thereafter, depending on your carrier.
I mean, pretty much worldwide. If you've seen the S4, you're going to see the S5. There's no stopping the Samsung train at this point.
Yeah.
As far as that's
concerned. What do you think of the S5? What's your take on it?
It seems like an iteration. I mean, I think that that fans of like this phone will be excited about this. I really haven't used a whole lot of the Samsung, the Samsung line. But yeah, sure.
Now they did did make some changes that I will give it props for, the camera and the SoC, actually, the system on the chip, which is, I believe it's the It's the Snapdragon 801. Yep. Boost from the 800, and that actually enables them to do faster image processing, and they're doing some pretty cool things. You know, I think they tout the fastest autofocus at 0.3 seconds to focus and take a shot. So, really fast.
I think the camera was one of the best parts of this update. It had, like, I think they mentioned a separate image processor, so separate from the 801, and the shots that I was taking with it, there was this burst mode that took 30 shots and maybe 3.5 seconds or something like that. The image quality on the S4 was already pretty good. So I'm assuming, while I couldn't pixel peep, like I said in the video, it did look to be like some pretty solid image quality. The real-time HDR. The super fast autofocus. So a whole bunch of great stuff going on with the camera. I think this is a good update for people who really care about the camera.
And that's at the top of a lot of people's lists, right? Yeah. Camera, battery. If you're addressing those things in a significant hardware way, I think, then you're on to something. And in some ways, the S5 has done that. So, It's iterative, but they did some things right, I think, with this one.
So
I'm still not liking the dimply back, though.
Dimply back.
As you pointed out on Google Plus, I believe it was your post, Marquez, the similarity to a Band-Aid is striking. Oh.
Well, supposedly, from what I read, Marquez, tell me if I'm wrong, but it gave more of a grip than the S4. Like, it felt more like better to hold in the hand.
Definitely, yeah. It's got, if you've ever played with the Note 3, that has a sort of a tacky feel to it besides the leather stitching. This is even more tacky than the Note 3 in the new Samsung tablet. So it's definitely grippier. And it's still the removable back. So it was curious to me that it was still IP67, so water resistant, dust resistant. But I like the feel of the back. If it was flat, if it didn't have those dimples, it would be great. There's no way you're going to see fingerprints on it. It looked really cool. It didn't look like it would wear very much. So I was happy about the material, but it was just not doing it for me for design.
Yep. Well, so in addition to the Galaxy S5, they didn't stop there. The rumored Galaxy Gear 2 got announced, and that's basically the next generation of their smartwatch. And the rumors were true that they are not running Android; they're running Tizen, which is interesting. So this is a major product running Tizen. They still interact well with the phones and with the whole ecosystem. Basically, the Gear 2's got a 1.63 Super AMOLED display. Battery can last for about 2 to 3 days. It's got a 2-megapixel camera that's moved up to the watch away from the band.
Good.
Yeah. It's got that heart rate sensor. It's got 4 gig of storage. Got removable straps, a home button. It can be a standalone music player, which is pretty cool. That's got an IR blaster, which is pretty cool. A nice little upgrade for it. Interesting on the Tizen aspect of it. They did also announce the Galaxy Gear 2 Neo, which is 20% lighter than the Galaxy 2 and doesn't have a camera. So if you don't feel the need to have a watch camera, then that's, you know, kind of a good option there for you.
Yeah.
And they didn't stop there.
This was kind of the big surprise, I think.
They also
took everyone by surprise.
Came out with the Galaxy Gear Fit, which is an entry into the very popular wearable fitness device. It's a 1.84-inch curved Super AMOLED display, running Tizen with a heart rate monitor, battery that can last up to 7 days of battery life, although Samsung says it's closer to 3 to 4 days with normal use. I love the look of this one. This fit, I think, is, I mean, did you get to see this one in person as well too?
Yeah, I think that was a universal press favorite. Everyone wanted to play with the gear fit. I actually want to make a point. None of these are actually Galaxy branded anymore. Right. So they're just Samsung gear now. I'm not sure if that matters at all, but that's something that they kept noting us when we were talking
interesting.
About
it.
I think it matters because I think Galaxy is very much an Android related kind of sub-brand or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, this is not Android. This is Tizen. So
this is like finally a legitimate use of a curved screen.
It looks great. Yeah, if this was the watch, I mean, I guess it is a watch. I mean, there's no reason why I can't. I mean, but it's very limited in its functionality. But like, if they'd had this design for the Gear 2 or whatever, I would be all over it.
Now, Marquez, maybe you can answer this on the fit. It looks really good. If you go back to that other picture that you were just on, Brian, looks really good if it's on a wrist that's a little bit wider, right? It doesn't extend beyond. I've seen some pictures of this thing, though, and if your wrist is a little small, it looks pretty big. Yeah. How did it look in real? You know, in person on a.
So I got up to it. I was holding it. I didn't actually get to put it on my relatively thin wrist. So it did look pretty wide. And so the gear itself, the original Galaxy gear was actually massive on my wrists. It looked a little bit ridiculous, and I'm a fan of thin watches anyway, but it did look a little wide if you have narrow wrists like I did.
Yeah, I could see why that would be a problem. Interesting. Also coming out of it, interestingly enough, is that the Samsung is going to upgrade the original Galaxy gear to Tizen. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
I thought that was very interesting.
Upgrade.
I know.
It's an interesting choice of words.
And then finally, the last little bit is coming out of Samsung. Sometimes, you know, we get the urge not to put our best foot forward. And unfortunately, HTC and Nokia both gave in to that urge during Samsung's presentation and announcement. Both HTC and Nokia tried to do some counter-programming. HTC had a little dig at Samsung by saying buyer's remorse coming soon to S5 owners, promoting their date.
Booyah.
You know. And then Nokia tweeted out encouraging people to stand out from the crowd at the Samsung event at Mobile World Congress, and it's not the same song.
Same song. They must have things to show off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be it. I bet you will talk about those in a second. I just put in a link real quick. Liz here just sent me a link, and Brian, it's right underneath that story in the doc. And it's a review on CNET, and who is that's reviewing the Gear Fit? I'm trying to see who it was that reviewed it, but it shows the device on a woman's wrist, and Liz is saying
Liz is running to tell us.
Yes, I know because actually now I'm realizing, you know, with CNET's videos, once you start put play, you're going to be waiting about 15 to 30 seconds after their ad. Maybe not. Woohoo! Somehow we got beyond it.
She's been on the show.
Jessica Dolcourt.
Yeah.
Love Jessica. So at some point she'll put it on her wrist, but so I don't know. I mean, I think it's a really good point, right?
That's not too bad.
That's not too bad.
Now, which way do you wear it? Like that or the other way?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Okay, maybe that's a little bit.
That looked enormous. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Once it pulled out, it changed the perspective a little bit. I mean, it's a really good point. I think Andy Anako during the Samsung coverage yesterday brought this up, which, you know, it's a really strange kind of approach to create these wearables that only look good on big
models.
Wrists, aka dudes' arms and not women's arms by, you know, to a large degree. And you're obviously limiting your audience by doing that, and, you know, kind of show everybody a little respect.
I think they were just showing the display facing out just for the demonstration, but you'd wear it the other way around.
So then instead of going like this to tell the time, you go like this.
Anyway.
Word. I'm okay with that. That's fine.
Oh, it's 3:30.
It's the superhero pose. Yeah. I like that.
3:45.
So if Nokia was mocking Samsung, what did they have to show off at Mobile World Congress, Gina?
Three new Nokia devices. And we'll run through the specs kind of generally. But the most interesting thing for me, and these are called the X, the X Plus, and the XL smartphones. This ties into our discussion last week. These phones are all running Android, the open source project, with no Google services on top. They're all going to interface with Microsoft's online product suite with a Nokia-operated app store. users can sideload APKs if they want. So basically they decided, you know, hey, we're not going to go for Google certification. We're not going to ship a phone with just AOSP. We're going to build our own GMS on top, their own proprietary layer that just interfaces with Microsoft's cloud. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised. If anybody could do this, Nokia could.
Yeah, I mean, this seems like the right choice, right? And this is what Amazon has done with Fire OS. So this makes a lot of sense. The X is the entry-level model. It's €89, available now, 4-inch screen. The X Plus, €99, basically the same as the X, the early Q2 2014. And the XL is €109, 5-inch screen, early Q2 of this year. So something for everyone. The triple X, as Android Police put it.
So we can finally put to bed the Android on Nokia phone rumor.
Yes,
that
yes,
we've been dredging for the past 3 months.
now begin the rumors of how long Nokia will have Android devices before Microsoft suddenly shuts it all down. We'll see if that happens. But yeah, we have it.
Surprised it took this long. I mean, honestly, I know Nokia and the Microsoft acquisition and all that stuff has been weird, but I mean, it's 2014. How long has Android been around? Like, I know Nokia is kind of, you know,
at least since 1984.
Feels like it sometimes.
Sometimes it does. I mean, actually, I should ask, did they have any devices Nokia at the event that you were at yesterday? Was it a Samsung event or it was?
Yeah, it was just Samsung.
Okay, so
it'd be very odd if they had the Nokia.
Well, I didn't know if it was a Mobile World Congress satellite event or if it was just the Samsung. Okay. Yeah, that would be Nokia's outside. We've got Android too.
Not the Samsung.
Yes. Handing out t-shirts. Okay, so Sony. Let's talk about Sony. Let's talk about Sony with their Xperia Z2. This is the update to last year's Z1 phone. Actually, heard a lot of good press about this. 5.2-inch 1920 by 1080 IPS live color LED display. That's Sony's proprietary technology. They're promising the widest color gamut on the market. For you color gamut fans out there, IP58 waterproof, and this is a theme I feel like from a World Congress. More and more devices becoming waterproof, dust-resistant devices.
Are they predicting like a water world scenario in our future? Like,
Kevin
are
they, Costner,
like the polar caps are melting, so we need to be prepared.
Yeah, the Costner threat is right around the corner. You got to be careful. You got to. Be careful. 20-megapixel rear-facing camera that's capable of 4K video recording, as well as the time-shifting, what they call time-shift video recording of 120 frames per second slow-mo.
So it's not a time machine?
No, unfortunately, not this time. That's a big differentiator whenever they can figure that one out.
This phone also lets you go back 5 minutes in time.
I love it. 4.4 KitKat and black, white, and purple options. So there cool. you go.
Yeah,
that's the Z2. Sony
Marquez
fans.
Marquez is not impressed.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. See, I liked the Xperia Z and the Z1, but I wasn't a fan of the display. So you mentioned it was IP58 certified. I mentioned briefly in my Samsung video what the two numbers stand for, and the Galaxy S5 is IP67 certified. The 6 being for dust, the 7 being for water resistant. But the 58, the 8 means it's fully waterproof. So again, these Sony phones are going to have like these flaps
right.
over all the different ports to be completely waterproof rather than water resistant. So now, I was not a fan of those on the other phones.
Okay, and there you go. Yeah. Well, and the Samsung, the S5 did have a flap as well. Did I not?
It did on the power connector.
Just the power, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So and everything else is just water resistant.
The speaker was open. The headphone jack was open. No flaps on those.
No, I completely agree, Marquez. I hate those flaps. And especially when the device is covered in them, then it's not just a matter of, oh, I have to remember to do this when I power it. It's like every single thing you do, you have to pull the flap out and down with flaps. But I guess the other side of that is if you're a klutz and you're
or
you want to go surfing.
You work on a boat.
There you go. Okay. Klutzes, boat workers.
There you go. Yeah, dock
Not
workers.
Not lumping them into the same category. I'm just saying.
I don't know. Could my daughter chew on this phone without like breaking it? Because
chew. I don't know.
But like drool. You know, this
spit and drool.
3 meters. Exactly. It's not 3 meters of drool. It's good.
I'm happy we have a yeah, what is the IP rating for that?
Oh, that's number 9 actually in the IP. Yeah, it's drool proof.
Let's see here. We also have the Z2 tablet. It's a 10-inch, also live color LED display. Similar specs, actually. It's literally the tablet version of the Z2 smartphone. It's super thin, though. 6.4 millimeters thin. I reviewed the previous version of this in tablet form, and it was super thin and light. And so even thinner and lighter, I'm really kind of interested to see what that's going to be like. Soon it's going to be like holding a piece of paper. Available in March as well there. I like some of the hardware that Sony is doing. Their software, I feel like, often leaves a lot to be desired. But and then they do have also a mid-range phone that they announced, the M2, 4.8-inch 960 by 540 display. So definitely targeting the mid-range with that. And then follow it up with quad-core. Remember when quad-core was not in the mid-range conversation, but quad core 1.2 gigahertz Snapdragon 400. So that's why 1 gig of RAM. And what else? Was there anything else from Sony? A smart band fitness tracker. Now, this wasn't necessarily announced at Mobile World. It was announced at CES. More information at Mobile World Congress as far as this is concerned, though. And again, everybody seems to have a wearable coming out. No screen. All of your interaction and notification is done via vibration and sync with the mobile device. And they are touting, probably kind of a shot across the bow here to Samsung, full compatibility with all Android devices via Bluetooth or NFC, promising open hardware and open software ecosystem.
That is a shot across the bow.
Boom.
That's not Samsung.
We support everybody on Android. Yeah.
So, Motorola didn't have any new products, but that didn't stop them from showing up at Mobile World Congress. And they held a very casual information session with some reporters, and some interesting kind of tidbits came out of it. A second-gen Moto X is coming later this year in summer 2014, so we can look forward to that. Motorola has, despite being sold to Lenovo and not being a part of Google anymore, has no current plans to change the near-stock Android approach, nor are they planning to move away from Android into other ecosystems. So Motorola is staying with Android. They're sticking with it. They plan to keep pricing the same ranges as the Moto X and Moto G, and they say the days of $600 phones are limited, which is always nice to hear.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep. They said update speed will not slow down. So that's good.
Yeah, all good stuff.
Moto Maker is coming to Europe and to Mexico, although Canada still no word.
Yeah, come on, Canada. Yep. Throw Canada a bone here. Come on.
They're so nice up there.
Jeez. Why you no like Canada, Moto?
Sorry. And then the big thing that came away from this information session is that, much like everyone else in the industry, Motorola has a watch in the works. Motorola will address the things that consumers want, like style and battery life. And interestingly enough, Android Police claims that photos of an early prototype of Motorola's watch, dubbed the Google Watch, made by the company last year. And it's somewhat interesting to see what it looks like, and considering it's also an early prototype. And it's pretty old. So I don't know how much you can stick with it, but it looks a lot like a cross between the Galaxy Gear and the Pebble.
Pebble in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the Wim 1 to a certain degree.
So it's interesting that if this is true and this is actually in development, then this could be the origins of it. We'll see how it comes out. But I'm not surprised to hear Motorola is working on a watch. Oh, no. I'm working on a watch. I'll be announcing it at next year's Mobile World Congress.
The Ron watch.
The Ron watch, yes.
The Wrongsta watch.
Yeah. Ron OS.
Yeah.
It's a fork of Android.
It's going to be great. It's a fork.
Everything's public. There's no privacy whatsoever.
None.
because Ron OS has nothing to hide.
Nothing to hide.
And it's salmon colored.
So that was Motorola and their little tea party.
Love it. Anyone else excited? Yay, nay? We good? Apparently. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's notable. The meh is notable, I'd say.
A lot of information and we're not done.
Oh, yeah. Now, hey, let's take a break. Let's take a break from Mobile World Congress, because I know you just need to sit back, relax, sip a cup of tea, and listen to me tell you about some cool stuff by Lynda. If you've never been to lynda.com, They're awesome. They just have a ton of videos, and you're going to really enjoy what you find there. It's an online learning company. They can help anyone learn creative software and business skills that'll allow you to achieve both your personal, your professional goals. I mean, pretty much it's instruction around technology and how to use technology is perfect for fans of this show. With a lynda.com subscription, if you're a member, you're going to receive unlimited access to just a huge library of current and engaging video tutorials across a ton of subjects, everything from creative, software skills, business negotiation, app development. You're going to learn how to code, create, build Android apps in Java, from the foundations of object-oriented Java programming to using the Android API to create engaging mobile apps. You're going to learn to develop apps for today's popular desktop as well as mobile platforms, build web apps with .NET, PHP, MySQL, improve your language skills with JavaScript, Ruby, C, C++, R, and all sorts of other languages you can find there. If you have passions in other things, art, you know, Photoshop, animation, I love the audio courses that they have on there, both from audio production, learning software like Pro Tools, down to, you know, kind of the theory behind audio, down to how to set up your studio, all that kind of stuff. It's just, I mean, you can spend hours upon hours just learning on the site, and that's what it's all about. You improve your skills, learn new software, and keep up with all that technology. And the library is always increasing. They have over 2,000 courses right now. New courses are actually added daily. There's some popular ones right now: Foundations of Programming, Android App Development with Java Essential Training, Android SDK Essential Training, Up and Running with Java Applications, Building and Monetizing Game Apps for Android. They have it all covered, and I'm only scratching the surface. These are taught by instructors who are working professionals. These are real people doing this for a living. They're not just recording videos. They do it in their field. They're experts, and then they teach you how to do it too. And it's high-quality videos, and they're all transcribed as well, which is a huge selling point here. If you have a particular thing that you want to dive in and search for around a topic, you can search for it. You can click through their transcripts and click a paragraph. That's going to take you right to the point in the lesson, so you can pick up right there, and you aren't, you know, using the scroll down at the bottom of the video player to try and scan forward and find the place that you're looking for. Just very easy to follow, easy to understand service, and they cover it all: beginner, intermediate, advanced, all sorts of technical skills and techniques and business strategies, all that kind of stuff. And finally, you can watch from your computer, your tablet, your mobile device. In fact, they have a new lynda.com Android app on the Google Play Store. So you can get that. And actually, once you start watching on your device, then you move over to your computer, it picks up where you left off, all sorts of cross kind of cooperation between the many different ways that you can watch their content. So here's what you can do. If this sounds interesting to you, it's only $25 a month for access to the entire lynda.com course library, or for $37.50 a month, you can subscribe to the premium plan, which includes exercise files that let you follow along with the instructors using the same project assets they do. And that's super valuable, being able to get access to those project files, because you can kind of pick it up and learn what you need, integrate what you want into your own project, and take off, and you're off to the races. You can try lynda.com right now for a free 7-day trial. Visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid to access the entire library. That's over 2,000 courses for free for 7 days. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank Lynda for their continued support of All About Android and the TWiT Network. Love Lynda. Right. Should we play the hardware bumper again?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. We need a break. It's like I'm in the chill room at the club.
I know it is.
Yeah. All right.
That's a nice bumper. Nice bumper.
So, Gina, what's Lenovo got in store for us?
They've got lots of new devices with numbers in the name.
Hey, okay. Awesome. Love those.
Lenovo announced the S860, 850, and 660 range of phones. Pretty affordable price points and focus on battery life. So what do we got here? We got the S860 is $349 unlocked, 24-hour talk time, and the ability to charge other devices off the phone.
It's like, I got so much battery, I charge you. Bring it.
They're just now they're just showing off.
I know, okay? Right?
So that's so cool.
This phone is an external battery. yes, all I want is for my phone to not die. That's all I want. But that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
The S850 is 269 unlocked, thin lightweight glass construction, 5-inch display, 13 megapixel rear facing camera, and the S660 is 229 unlocked. This is kind of the mid-range device, brushed metal construction, also a 5-inch display. Also, Lenovo announced the Yoga Tablet 10 HD Plus. This little baby's got three use modes, hold, tilt, and stand, depending on the position of its kickstand. It's a 10.1-inch, 1920 by 1200 display, quad-core Snapdragon 400, 8-megapixel rear-facing camera, 4.3 Jelly Bean, and that's available in April, starting at $349.
It's, Jelly Bean.
It's gonna be really interesting to kind of Jelly like Bean. To kind of like put a stamp in this time and this announcement and look at what Lenovo products look now versus a year from now when Motorola's been integrated, because the Lenovo design and the Motorola design are not very different, but they're different. It's a different style. Yeah. It's a different approach, right?
I mean, but you know, they've also said that they plan on Motorola being kind of its own thing and not being integrated into Lenovo. So yeah, you're right. I mean, will Lenovo continue to do this and then have Motorola do that?
Right. Or well, who will influence who?
Yeah, exactly. Just for the record, S860, the one that can charge all other devices because it likes to show off, 4,000 milliamp hour battery. I forgot to put that in the notes. But,
wow.
So that's a pretty
4,000 milliamp.
4 Gs. That's more than that's more than 3 Gs.
Yes.
Very observant. Excuse me while I charge my laptop off my phone. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That is so funny. I love that. I love just having a phone that you have so much battery in that you can be like, oh, yeah, I could charge you. Sure. Here, go ahead. I've got plenty to spare.
Oh, that's wacky.
Instead of jumpstarting someone's car.
Yeah, exactly.
Just plug it in mine.
All right. And yoga tablet. Okay, cool. It goes in three different positions and whatever.
Yoga tablet.
Yoga tablet.
Yoga flame.
You know, I'm predicting the Motorola group is like, oh God, just see what they're doing over Lenovo. Like, they're going to, like, there's going to be a schism. There's going to be a schism. I'm telling you. They need to integrate.
Now, what about HTC, you may be asking, and maybe you weren't, but I'm going to tell you. HTC Desire 816. There wasn't a whole lot of HTC announcement at Mobile World Congress, mainly because they've already said next month they're having a big announcement.
I think it's March 25th, in fact.
Everyone, okay.
There's the little thing on the Samsung dig.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. There we go. I forgot about that. So that is next month, March 26th. They're saving their big guns for then. What they have at Mobile World Congress is the HTC Desire 816. It's kind of a mid-rangey device. But actually, the camera on here is pretty good.
It looks like the best Instagram phone on the market.
That's what Russell Hawley at Geek.com says.
Although I do kind of have to make an argument for the Oppo N1 because of the flippable 13 megapixel. So you technically could have a 13 megapixel front-facing camera, but I don't know how good this 5 megapixel one is. So.
Yeah, who knows? Yes, As far as specs are concerned, it might not be the top of the line, but for a mid-range phone to have a 5-megapixel front-facing camera, that's pretty
interesting. Surprised they didn't call it the selfie.
Yeah, the selfie. The HTC selfie 816.
Desire.
Love your selfie.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy.
Sorry. I'm filled with regret. I'm sorry.
I'm not. That was awesome. 13 megapixel rear facing camera, too. So, for a mid range device, it's mid range. 1.6 gigahertz quad core processor. So, still decent speeds there. 5.5 inch 720p display. You know, we're seeing a new mid-range right now, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
So, yes, and obviously big news to follow up next month. Indeed. That's HTC. Oh, wait a minute.
They've got more. No, there's more.
Oh, man. But this is not Mobile World Congress HTC. This is just kind of related because it's HTC. Rumor world. Let's enter into our rumor world here. Bloomberg reporting that a source with direct knowledge of the plans told them that HTC is working on not one, not two, but three new wearables. One is a smartwatch that's focused on Google Now recommendations. kind of cards from Google Now, or maybe something similar to that, maybe HTC's version, I don't know. One based on Qualcomm's Talk smartwatch, which I still would like to see in person. I'd like to see the Talk. Yep. Have you seen that, Marquez, by the way?
I have a black one and a white one.
Yeah, what do you think of the Talk?
Have one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Lots of meth from you tonight.
Yeah. Marquez is not does not impress easily. I like it.
Yeah, I like it. It's a tough crowd. I like that.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. Maybe I'm not as excited to see the Talk smartwatch from HTC. And then another one focused on music playback. I would hope, you know, kind of some local storage, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, okay, I guess the question that I wrote before the show here is they've got new wearables potentially. They have a mid-range device that's targeting kind of the younger set with Desire 816. Yep. A revamped, all-new one probably coming out next month. Does HTC have a chance at reviving kind of its business at this point? What do we think? What's that, Marquez?
I was going to say, with just because of the rivalry that I see in the YouTube comment section all the time between the HTC One and the Galaxy S4,
yeah,
because of Samsung's misstep with the hardcore community and the Galaxy S5, I think there's a wide open door for the HTC, the next HTC One to make ripples. So, yeah.
Mm. Even if they don't have the marketing kind of muscle that Samsung might have, do you think that makes a big difference?
Well, in a different, yeah, I was going to say in just the very small YouTube commenter, sure, hardcore fan market, I think they definitely have a wide open door. In the bigger scale of things, the S5 is still going to sell a lot because of Samsung's massive budget. HTC, I don't know, like it's hard because the HTC One, as great of a phone as it already is, and as much as HTC put into it, still didn't exactly lift the company off its feet to a new level. So it would be really tough for the next one to be that amazing of an improvement over an already great phone, mm-hmm, to take the company to the next level. So I'd be shocked if it was a huge seller.
But how are we assuming that there's no marketing push behind it? Didn't they do that whole thing with the Robert Downey Jr. lookalike? Was that Robert Downey Jr.? Like, what was that?
Yeah, but I mean, that was beyond like YouTube like replays that people were posting and everything that. You really didn't see a whole lot of that.
But what if that was seeding? What was that leading up to what's going to happen in March?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. I just also don't feel like HTC has the kind of capital, like has the vast room filled with stacks of dollar bills. Right, Samsung does to just throw it massive amounts of marketing.
But whatever that was that they tried to do, like, where did it go? And like, yeah, was that just the early the stage? And like, let's judge it after the announcement and see what comes out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
for some reason, I like HTC.
I haven't owned
an HTC phone since the Nexus One, but the part of me still roots for them. And mm-hmm, I've recommended, mm-hmm, the HTC One. I bought, yep, my sister the HTC One. I mean, like, that's, you know, so I want them to do well. Yeah,
no, that's Gina. That's your device. That's your day to day.
Yeah. I have an HTC One. Mm-hmm. I love it. I want them to be successful. But two quick thoughts on this. First, the fact that they're working on three different smartwatches with different focuses is a red flag to me.
Yeah,
it sounds like split effort, lack of focus, and that probably means that they'll all be sort of mediocre. The other question that I have, and I'm pretty sure that this is true, no one else can do a Google Now device as well as Google or at all, because Google Now is not part of the Android AOSP. That is proprietary Google software. Mm-hmm. So unless HTC is getting certification from Google to issue a smartwatch OS or some sort of Android build that runs just Google Now, which I highly doubt because that's what Google's working on right now.
Yep.
That's just not going to happen. Now, do I think that HTC could come up with the amazing recommendations that Google Now comes up with because Google basically owns me data-wise? No way. I don't use any HTC, you know, services. So I don't really even know how that's possible. The Google Now watch. And honestly, that's the watch I want. And that's why I'm excited about the Google Watch. Mm-hmm. Not even Motorola can do that.
Yeah.
Because that's Google software.
That sums it up for me as well too. I want the native Google kind of Google Now experience in the watch. So we'll see. But that's not all that was at Mobile World Congress. Oh, there's even more. It never ends. Of course I pulled the short straw and I got Huawei. I'm going to point to you and you'll say it. So
Huawei
had a couple of announcements at Mobile World Congress. The first was the
Huawei.
TalkBand B1, which is a fitness tracker and headset in one. It's you wear it on your wrist, you plug your headphones into it. It does fitness tracking, notifications, time. The display comes off, so turning it into a Bluetooth headset for calls, so you can pop it out, and it's a headset. That's pretty neat.
That's neat.
It's going to be available in China next month, with Europe, Middle East, Russia, and Japan to follow at 136 euros. No date for America. So even if you liked it, sorry. They also have the
Huawei
MediaPad X1, which they claim is the lightest and narrowest 7-inch tablet at 239 grams and 103.9 millimeters wide. It's also doubles as a phone, so it's got LTE for making phone calls. It's got a IPS LCD 1920 by 1200 display, quad-core 1.6 gigahertz, 5,000 milliamp battery for up to 5 days of continuous use. It's running 4.2 Jelly Bean, available in March.
Jelly Bean.
Available in March in China, Russia, Europe, Middle East, Japan, and Latin America. And then finally, they...
Huawei.
Announced the Ascend G6, which is a stylish mid-range phone with a $249 euro price tag unlocked.
Dollar euro?
€249. No dollars. Euro.
And Americans.
So that's the Mobile World Congress representation from...
Huawei.
There you go.
See, I need to be in studio because I can't pull that off on Skype.
Huawei. See, that's all that needs to happen. That finger gets pointed at me.
And, no, wait, wrong way.
Before.
No, Huawei. Gina. Not wrong way, Huawei.
Wrong way, Huawei. Real quick, what do we think of Huawei?
Not available here.
Oh, okay, but... For where it is available, I think the TalkBand B1. Band. I think that's pretty nifty. The removable screen that you can use for calls. That's nice. Yeah, that's neat. Cool. I haven't seen that, but we
there's
probably
so many wearables. So many wearables.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And then finally, Gina, you have the Yada.
Yes, not to be confused with the yoga tablet discussed earlier.
Or Yoda from Star Wars.
Or the Yoda. Yes, apparently I say Yada.
Yada, which is probably a better way to pronounce it. Yada Devices announces the next generation Yada phone. That's the one with the AMOLED display in the front and E-Ink display on the back. The E-Ink display is now fully touch-enabled as opposed to the gesture control of the original. It's got 4.7-inch E-Ink display with a light for nighttime viewing, Snapdragon 800, wireless charging. Love wireless charging. Hope it works really well. NFC 5-inch AMOLED display. And this is available in Russia and select markets in Q4 2014 with US and Asia 1 to 2 quarters after that. Yada.
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 Yada. Yada. Yada. Yada. Yada.
I still want to say Yoda. Yoda phone.
Yoda phone.
Ink on the back it has.
Wow.
If they sold a phone in the shape of Yoda, I totally would buy that.
Oh yeah, my God. With the ears coming out as your antennas.
I already have an R2 phone. It's a landline phone, and the leg is the receiver, but it's an R2-D2.
Remember the R2-D2 Droid 2? That was great.
I do, yes. That was awesome. Yeah, that was very cool.
Tempted. I was tempted, I was. Wow. All right. Well,
Mobile
we made
World
it.
Congress has killed
we
us.
We did it. We made it. Our 6:35 internal chat deadline to get through Mobile World Congress was nailed. We made it. And
Huawei.
I was like, wait, no, that was two things ago. I can't remember what it means when you point at me. All I remember is that it's time for the Android Arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
It's been a crazy show.
Yes, it has. And last week was crazy week. All About Android episode 149. What are the results? I haven't even looked.
It's very
I knew that I was going to lose. But Muse, top at 37%. Well, wait a minute.
We have a tie.
Well, percentage.
Percentage. I will take it.
Muse, 37% with 186 votes. Groupic, 37% with 182 votes.
I will take that as a win.
Who had Muse? That was
JR.
That was JR.
Yeah, so right. I will take that as a win. So sorry about Polyfauna.
Well, a win with current.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Current, yes, yeah. Folks here. So Night Mode, third place at 20%, and then Polyfauna, 6%. That's okay. It's
two out there. That's why I didn't remember. I thought about using it. I'm like, oh, it's two out there.
You know, and I just realized that means I lost.
So, are you prepared or do you want me to go?
Well, I just need to find the audio jack here. Dance for me for a second. apparently, I do need you to go.
I will go first.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
If we learned anything from my NSFW appearance, I don't vamp very well.
Yeah. You talk a lot, and then when someone tells you to talk, you can't talk anymore. Yep. Okay, so mine isn't going to take very long. And actually, in retrospect, it's not similar to last week's pick, but it is an audio-focused kind of thing. So if that's your bag, if you like those, you might like this. It's called Taumix. And what is it? It's an audio app that allows you to create your, well, they say set your mood. And basically what it is, it's a sound mixer for elements that you can kind of bring together. So it's kind of hard to explain, but I'll show you. So basically, I'll go in here and I'm going to add an element, and I have all these different things that I can add. Insects, animals, rain, whatever. I'm going to take heavy rain and we'll put it here. And okay, so you're getting audio. All right. So this little dot right here is the location of where you stand, essentially. And this is an element, right? That's heavy rain. I can place it anywhere on the screen. And as I get the dot where I'm standing further away or closer, it gets louder and quieter. Now I can add another element, right? What's good with rain? Let's do city. Traffic. So now we're going to, okay, so now we're in the city and, you know, hey, it's raining outside. And what do we hear? Let's see here. Maybe I'll add not a heartbeat. Suddenly it's a city that's being attacked by birds in a forest.
They're violent birds, aren't they?
So, okay. Yes, they're not very violent, but you don't want to. So you can set this off on a path. I'm not moving it very, very quickly here. But essentially what you're doing is you're creating a soundscape for yourself. It's kind of just a little audio tool that you can kind of play around with, and you can create scenes and different combinations that you like. Obviously, as this gets closer to the birds, birds are going to get louder. The cityscape's going to fade a little bit. And you can just kind of get creative and bring in all these different sources and elements. I think there's like a bells on here or something. There's television static. Ooh, that's going to be fun. Very, very nice. You can do things like... you know, just make them louder in comparison with the rest, or less so. Move that around. You can, if you really want, you can kind of change the color or change the sound or get rid of it entirely. And then once you have done all of this, let's see here, you can save your ambience and kind of recall it later. So, ambiance, is that what you say, Ron? Okay, well, whatever. So earlier today, I created Rain City Bells. And, it's a little bit like the same, but it has this nice little bell jangling in the background. And I have this moving in a little motion here. Maybe I can get it to do that here real quick. There we go. So, you know, I mean, what do you do with this? I don't know. You just play around with it for a little while. It's free. Although the free version doesn't give you access to all the sounds. So if you want all of the sounds, then of course it's an in-app purchase of $1.99 extra. But, you know, create ambiances, as Ron likes to say. And apparently Ron is playing with it right now and really likes it and is going to vote for my app, apparently. Right, Ron?
You make it bigger. There we go.
You hold on and then... No, you just hold on. You hold on down on it. Hold down on it and then... Oh. Oh, now, ooh, I like it. Campfire in the middle of the city. Better not come to my city. All right, there you go. All right, so cool. It's a Taumix. Just kind of interesting. I haven't seen this one before, and I like it. It makes me want to sleep. Good night, Brian. Thank you. All right, there you go. That's Taumix, and check it out. A lot of fun. All right, so who do we have next?
I think I'm up next.
All right, Ron, you go.
All right. So for some reason, Google Now just came up and just searched. Anyway, so I found a neat app that is very specific and also might be dangerous, but, you know, what are you going to do? For those of you who are really into driving, you're really into speeding, and you're really into not getting caught, Speedometer by Cigic, is a very nicely designed, pretty app that basically uses your phone's GPS to determine your speed and then also keep a publicly maintained database of known traffic cameras. So, so here's the main interface. Basically, here you can see the little speedometer. You can switch between mile per hour or kilometers per hour. And then there are also, the screen here tells you where there's a speed camera, where it's located and how far away from it, where you are. And then you can either say, yes, there is one, or no, there isn't one, because it's using the community to determine whether or not there are cameras or not within there. I used it on the way up here to verify whether it worked, and I can kind of show you, what it looks like, although it's hard to demo because we're not driving. But so when you open up the app, that's basically what the screenshots, that you saw earlier look like. This is the speedometer. The nearest traffic camera here is 14 and a half miles away. I can tap on that. And it shows me all the ones that are nearby. Aren't many up here in Petaluma if you're a speed demon up and you wanna kind of navigate the streets. So it doesn't really show anything. But while I was driving, I actually took some screenshots so you could see. So this is when I was driving, when I was up on the freeway. I was going 32 miles an hour. Showed me there was one 11 miles away.
Police, danger.
There was a I finally got to 55 miles an hour, and you can see I was going further away from the nearest traffic camera. So it works. I tested it. Totally works. There's also an interesting little function within there, within the settings, where you can set your measurements. You can also put a speed alert on, so you can have the app alert you if you're going over 60 or 70 miles an hour, or 50, or anything from 20 up to 90. So let's say you've got two strikes, okay? And if you get caught one more time going more than 55 miles an hour, you're a dead man. So you better set a speed alert for 50 miles an hour, and you just turn the phone off, leave it in your dash, and if you hit over 50, it will buzz and tell you you're going over 50. And you can also turn sounds on or off on the app. So very simple, very effective, using the phone in an innovative way to basically tell you how fast you're going. So there you go. It's a speedometer, totally free, available in the Google Play Store from Cigic. So there you go.
S-Y-G-I-C,
yep.
Cigic.
Cigic.
Speedometer by Cigic.
Yep.
Awesome. That's free. Nice.
There you go.
Interesting stuff there. Okay, so Marquez, I have your app installed. I had to, as you probably know, I had to go through a few different things to get it installed, but I have it to show off. So go ahead and talk about it, and I can show it off on the
device. Okay, so it's called Phoenix, and it's another Twitter app. So I'm sure pretty much everyone watching the show already has a Twitter app, but this is this one caught my eye because of the design. So it's actually a really good app, but you won't find it if you search for Phoenix, F-E-N-I-X, in the Play Store, because it is a preview. It's still in beta. So you have to join the Google Plus community and then become a beta tester. And then you get a download link. And from there, you can find it in the Play Store. But basically, it's a very pretty looking app. I've been using it for maybe 2 weeks now. It has some slide-in actions going on from the left-hand side. So if you swipe in from the left, kind of like in the Play Store, you will get to look at your profile. You'll get your mentions, your shortcuts to all sorts of things. And swiping around the interface is just really, really clean. And that's really what I look for in a Twitter app, is design. One thing it doesn't have is notifications, so still waiting for that. Not sure how that's going to work. But basically, if you hold down on a tweet, you get your typical options to, I guess, favorite, retweet, and share to pocket, which I actually do to tweets often. But yeah, that's it. I mean, it's a nice little change of pace. I've been using like three different Twitter apps on my phone for a while now, so just sticking to using a single one for a while is kind of a new thing for me, but this is the one I've been using, and I really like it.
Twitter app is a tough one. I've been using Falcon, and I'm getting more and more annoyed by it.
Yeah.
So I might check this one out.
Yeah. The profile view. If you check out the profile view, if you like click on someone's profile by their, and just scroll down, you can see the animation's really neat, clean, brings your cover photo in and out. With a nice,
yeah, that is nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
I like how I'm watching it on the TV screen and not with the app right next to me.
I do it all the time.
Right next to me, yeah. I know, totally. That's very smooth, actually. Do that again. Look at that.
What?
It always worries me though when new Twitter clients come out though, because I wonder if the developers are just self-loathing masochists or they know somebody. I don't know. But yeah. I mean, I'm glad that folks are still innovating on Android. But I worry about them.
Yeah.
Yep. And I end up, as awesome as all the Twitter clients are that seem to keep coming out, I keep going back to Plume for some reason. I think I stick with what I'm so used to at this point. Yeah. Even though this looks cleaner than what I'm used to and everything, it's hard for me to break my habit at this point. But I like this a lot. It's totally smooth. Obviously, the notifications, you know, once they get that working, that'll give it a nice boost.
Except that I just turn all notifications off.
You do on Twitter?
Everything. I turn notifications off on everything. I don't want things to. I don't want to be notified of anything.
Focus. I like it.
Interesting.
I tend to visit Twitter proactively, so I only have notifications on for messages. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'll go through all the mentions manually.
You know, that's a really good point. Yeah. I do too, but yet I keep the notifications on.
Why?
And it's always bugging me.
What do you do? Just swipe them? Yeah. So turn them off. It's amazing. This is a breakthrough. This is a breakthrough, my friend. Just turn it off.
That's true. It's like the last thing I need is more reasons for me to quit whatever I'm doing right now and look at my phone.
First thing I do when I set up a new computer is I turn off Growl and I turn off all those pop-up notifications. They just steal your
attention.
Oh, they're
so distracting.
They steal your focus. They really don't help. Yes, it was neat in 2006, but like now, not so much. So, I don't know. That's just me. So
I'm team Ron on this one. Although I use the official Twitter client and I have direct messages and replies from my friends.
Ooh,
notifications turned on.
Well done. There you go.
Yeah. So at least, you know, so if one of you guys replies to me, I would see it.
Right.
But if somebody I don't know did, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You'd see that on your casual check-in for your average.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ah,
yep.
Man, that's I don't know why I never thought of that before. That's brilliant. Cool. So that is Phoenix for Twitter. And if you're interested, there will be the link to the community page will be in the show notes, twit.tv/AAA. Or there's the QR code if you're still scanning QR codes. I really wonder how many people use the QR codes that we put up for everything.
That's a very good question.
I have to imagine not many people, but it's just kind of part of what we do.
If you use the QR codes, please tell us on Twitter or email the show.
Yes,
please.
I'm very curious.
We want to know.
I'm just, yeah.
We've got three people in the chat room saying they do. Four. I like Web2842. I've used it a few times.
Use them all the time. I do sometimes.
All right, so there you go.
Okay,
so immediate, we have a straw poll for the QR codes.
That's what we need. I'll work on that. Gina, what do you have?
So my app pick this week is for fellow parents like Jason and me. It's Dormy Baby Monitor. So before all you non-parents just fall asleep, this is a really cool app. It's really cool that this is possible on Android. So it's Dormy, D-O-R-M-I, which means sleep in Esperanto, Baby Monitor. So this is a baby monitor app. You install it. Basically, the idea is you've got this old Android device laying around. You've got a kid under 3 years old. You take your old Android device. You install Dormy on it. You take your current Android device. You install Dormy on that. So there's this notion of a parent device and a child device. And you put the child device in the child's room. And you've got a baby monitor. You can listen for your child's, being awake or crying from wherever you are. If you're on Wi-Fi, 3G, 4G. If you're just doing peer-to-peer Wi-Fi tethering. Multiple parent devices can connect to one child device. So you and your co-parent or your babysitter or whatever can all be connected to the child device. It is audio only. It's not a video baby monitor. And it's push to talk and push to listen and push to talk. So what happens is as a parent, you're running this app and your child starts to cry and you get a little notification that's like, there's a noise detected and you can push to listen to hear what's going on. If you're on the phone and the baby cries, you get a little vibration just letting you know that it detected noise, which is really, really nice. If the child device receives a text message or a phone call, it gets forwarded to the parent device and you can respond to it or call back, which is pretty cool. And this app is really beautifully designed, I have to say, and it works on Android 2, 3 and up. So if you've got this like old Android phone laying around not doing anything, just plug it into the baby's room, connect to the Wi-Fi network, and you basically got a baby monitor wherever you want to be. It's free to do monitoring for up to 4 hours. And then after that, they've got in-app purchasing. You can do, I think it's 99 cents a month for monthly unlimited, $4.50 for annual, $6.50 for lifetime. They've also got these referral credits that you can earn and get, you know, get money off on your purchase. Really, really, really cool. I mean, this is definitely a baby monitor app. I don't know if there are other sort of surveillance type uses you could have if you don't actually have a child. But it's just really, really well done. And I tested it out with my daughter. And I have to say, it was really sensitive. It adjusts automatically to the sound of the room. So when I tested it out, you know, we had music on for her. And then it heard the music at first, but then got was aware that that was just sort of ambient noise, and then didn't notify me about it. But then when she started, you know, screaming or talking loudly, it let me know that there was noise I should know about.
Once you set it up, were you waiting for her to start screaming? sleeping still. I can't test this.
she was eating dinner, so we had music on, and she was eating, and she was demanding more food loudly, and it let me know in the other room that she was making noise. So she wasn't in distress, to be clear.
There you go. That's a cool app. That's a very good clever use of old devices.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I've got at least two or three or four Android devices sitting at home. Now I feel the need to have two or three or four children.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's all it takes.
Yeah, so
there you go. Yeah, and I mean, even if you just got an extra tablet laying around or or whatever. Of course, the fact that multiple parents could be connected to the same child device is kind of interesting because, you know, one parent can be like, oh, she's taking care of it. I'm good.
Yeah, right. That's cool. No, I've seen a decent amount of baby monitor apps in the Play Store, but hadn't really found one that ever really worked so well. So I never really stuck with one. And
yeah, I mean, it doesn't have video, which some people might object to. I've never done video monitor because I just feel like that would just feed my neuroses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, audio has been fine with our kids. So that's a little bit of a drawback. But this app is fairly new. The design is really beautiful and just, you know, lots of white space, really easy, just very clear, you know, start, click to talk, push to listen. There's a little bit of delay with the sound. Right. You know, I could hear it, you know, a little bit of a latency, but not too bad. Totally works well enough to talk to. And then I pushed to talk and talked to my daughter, and she heard me fine, and it
that's
worked really
cool.
Well, so
the push to talk aspect is pretty cool. I had now that I think about it, there was one that, and you know, it was probably some generic like baby monitor app or whatever. I may have even featured it in the arena, you know, a couple of years ago, that I'd used a couple of times. I just don't need. I don't.
Well,
really
your child's 17 now, right? So
practically, practically, she's four.
She's driving,
going on 17.
Yeah, she got into Yale. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. This is. She's growing up too fast. Don't do that to me.
I'm sorry.
This is too real. There
she's the single guy.
Yeah. You think it's so funny, don't you? Okay, so that is Dormy Baby Monitor, and that's free for 4 hours in-app purchase for unlimited. There you go. Fantastic stuff. All right, so we have a couple of polls for you to check out here.
This is very good.
First of all, this week's poll for this arena is AAAPoll.com/150 to let us know which is your favorite app of the week. Is it Taumix, Speedometer, Phoenix for Twitter, or Dormy Baby Monitor? Early reports are in. Phoenix, Taumix. Well, okay. It's
Taumix.
Is it Taumix?
It's Taumix, yeah.
All right, fine. You're correcting my pronunciation of everything.
I like when you type in, how do you pronounce? Google says, how do you pronounce GIF first?
Well, that's probably a pretty popular one to... Okay, so
Tau is pronounced Dow. It's Dow Jones. All right. Taumix. Wow, it's winning. That's pretty cool.
See what happens. Yeah. We'll see what happens. All right, but the important poll, let's be serious here. The really important one that we need to know, if you have to remember just one, is AAAPoll.com/QR code.
Be heard.
Let us know. Do you use the QR codes on AAA? I'm just really curious. I don't think we're going to get rid of them because it's just kind of part of the flow. But
It's nice to check in with our audience.
Yeah, you know.
My favorite, I forget who it was, but someone came into the chat room who said, I just logged into the chat room to let you know I use the QR codes. It's like, yes.
Thank you, Brian, our technical director, for being the one person to vote what? You just threw your vote away.
Good job, Brian.
Not the first time.
Okay, all right. Well, there you go. So we'll check in on both of those. AAApoll.com/150 and AAApoll.com/QR code.
Let's give it up for Jason for doing that on the spot.
No, I didn't do that one. I did create one, but somebody else in the chat room actually created the one that I had.
Okay, well, I just saw Jason just all get all busy and everything. So good job, chat room. Good job, Jason.
Oh, man, I want to give the proper shout out, but I can't. But, oh, it's a Dr. Nixon, D-R-N-X-N. Okay, but anyways, thank you, Dr. Nixon. And thank you, Marquez Brownlee, for joining us for yet another episode of All About Android. It's been great having you on.
For sure. Thank you for having me. It was a good show.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you back. Always. You're fantastic. What do you have in the works? Where can people find your stuff? And if there's anything you want to promote, this is your chance.
Word. Okay. In the works, I have a bunch more. I mean, it's Mobile World Congress, so there's a whole bunch more device previews and reviews in the works. And I do videos, so if I'm pointing at the boom.
There you go. Got it.
YouTube.com/MKBHD is where those videos will show up on the internet when they're done. And that's basically it. Oh, and a setup to our projects. It's going to be like a several hour long video. Don't know how that's going to work.
Wait, explain that again. What is it?
I asked for people to submit. Last year I did this setup tour project where people would submit 15 to 30 second video of something notable about their setup to give people ideas and inspiration. So I compiled them all together. It was about a 25 minute video. Decided to do it again this year, got 1,300 submissions, which would be a little over 10 hours long. So still working with that.
So wait a minute. Is the goal to absolutely definitely use everything that you've been submitted?
No. Okay. No.
All right.
I'm going to try to organize them in a way that's cohesive and coherent and hopefully interesting for more than 25 minutes, I guess.
Holy cow. Wow. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, if there's somebody that can pull it off, it's you, Marquez.
We believe in you, Marquez.
Well, thank you. Thank you once again. It's always a pleasure, and we'd love to have you back sometime soon. Sooner than almost a year, dang it.
Yeah, has it been a year?
Yeah, wow, it has. It's been since last March.
I blame you, Jason.
Blame me because apparently, I made that happen, unfortunately.
Or not happen.
All right, Ron.
Go to about.me/RonXO where you can find my crazy musings. The other day, somebody asked me what I talk about Twitter. What do I talk about on Twitter? And I said, nonsense. But every now and then there's a fun link on there. Go find me on Google Plus at google.com/+RonRichards. Posting more nonsense there as well. And by day, go to imagecomics.com where you can find all the greatest image, all the finest comic books available on your local comic book store rack. So there you go. Got a lot of stuff going on. It's fun times.
No kidding.
So, yep.
Busy guy. Gina, you've been pretty darn busy yourself, I hear.
I have. I'm the co-founder and CTO of a company called ThinkUp, thinkup.com. We are so close to launching public signups. It's not even funny. If you want to be the first to know about it, just pop in your email address right there. You'll be first to know as soon as we're live. And I also co-host another show on the Twit Network, This Week in Google, during which we often discuss Android. And that's on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern with Leo and Jeff Jarvis. And, you can find me on the Twitter and the Google Plus and all that just by looking for my name.
Fantastic. Love and Think Up. Thank you for doing it.
I can't wait for
the public release.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Me neither.
I'm sure. I can only imagine. Brian, what about you?
What about me?
Yeah, what about you?
I liked as we were getting into the plug section, I all of a sudden see lights turning on in the distance. I see, Brian's getting ready for his close-up.
I have to prepare myself, because otherwise...
as you should, Brian.
He pulls out his makeup mirror, and he's like...
Yeah, so if you want to follow my black silhouette...
Brian's in hiding.
Where were you on the day that the event happened?
I need to modify my voice so you can't understand me. When I'm not messing up the buttons on All About Android, I'm co-hosting on Know How with Father Robert Ballasaire.
We need a squelch for your voice. We need the...
next week I'll put like a little blur over my face or something.
Please there do.
Co-host with Know How, which is a lot of fun. And do reviews on BYB and stuff. What, Ron? What?
I enjoy the commitment to the lack of lights. And I watched one of your videos.
I actually prefer it a little bit like this, because otherwise I'm just blinded.
Yeah, it's true. Those lights are pretty bright.
But great show, guys.
Cool. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you,
Brian.
Good
job, as always. You can find me on the internet as well. I'm at Jason Howell pretty much everywhere for the most part, except when I'm at Raygun01. I know that's confusing, but it's true. I'm working on a new show. and it's Android related. Working on an Android app show.
Ooh, spinoff?
I don't know if it's a spinoff. I mean, spinoff in the sense that it's Android and it might have Arena in the title. So yes, I guess a spinoff,
and it's called Chachi Loves Apps, or what is it called? Apps Like
I don't
Chachi?
Know. I'm in the early stages of it, but guaranteed you guys will hear more about it on this show because I want them to kind of play into each other somehow. But it'll be a focus on apps and hopefully bring in developers of apps, specifically on like big apps that are hitting that you know a lot of people are talking about. I don't want to step on the arena, and I don't want the arena to change in
the
this show.
The arena's only 10 minutes.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the arena is the arena. It's its own thing. Yeah. Sometimes apps can get a little bit deeper kind of, you know, examination and whatever. So working on that. I'll share information on this show as soon as I know more, but I'm hoping to get that together sometime in the next month or so. I don't know. Doing that stuff. So stay tuned. But that is it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of All About Android. Leave us a voicemail. You can always have your voice be heard at 347-SHOW-AAA, or you can post a video on YouTube. Give us the link at aaa@twit.tv or an email. I also monitor the community at Google+, so check for the All About Android community there. Always a lot of fun conversation happening there. You can find the show on Twitter. We're at Android Show. We have a subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. And I definitely refer to that to kind of gauge kind of interest in some of these stories and everything. So twit.tv/AAA for past episodes and show notes. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.